This paid commercial may not represent the views of Hubbard Broadcasting Incorporated or Federal News Radio. Statements and opinions of this broadcast are solely those of individual contributors or advertisers as indicated. Federal News Radio does not take responsibility for those statements or opinions and accepts no responsibility or liability for any inaccuracy, errors, or omissions reported during this program.
Welcome to Fed Access with Derek T. Dortch on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. Derek walks you through how to win government jobs and contracts, effectively manage your government career, and best utilize government services. Every week on Fed Access, you'll learn about interesting federal agencies, workers, and jobs. Fed Access provides you the access you need to succeed in the federal government. And now your host, Derek T. Dortch.
Welcome to Fed Access with Derek T. Dortch on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. Thank you for stopping by the show. We're always glad to have you. Today, we're going to be talking about veterans and really the dynamic of veterans as entrepreneurs. Having served in the Marine Corps myself, it was one of probably the best experiences I ever had and really kind of taught me a lot of stuff that has been helpful in my career and helpful in terms of, you know, being a business owner and everything else. And so today we want to talk about it. There's an association out there that's called the Veteran-Owned Business Association. NAVOBA is NAVOBA.com is the website you can find. And Chris Hales, I believe he's the founder. Chris, you're the founder of this association, aren't you?
I am. That's right, Derek. Yeah.
Yeah, we got Chris Hales on the line. He's the founder of this association, and as well as a couple other companies that we'll talk about that focus in on veterans. But Chris, welcome to Fed Access.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
That's my pleasure. Hey, talk to us about what the National Veteran-Owned Business Association, what are you guys focused in on? You know, when we talk about, you know, veteran-owned businesses, and we talk about kind of creating opportunities, you know, what's the focus? I mean, because a lot of veteran associations out there, you know, as me and you talked at one point in time, how are you differentiating from the others?
We evangelize the value of that veterans bring to the business and to industry. And so to that degree, NAVOBA advocates for businesses that are owned by a veteran in three really separate categories. One is government, which has been around since federal legislation was passed a few years ago, and another is corporate America. We go to the Fortune 1000 businesses and tout the benefits that they will gain by using veteran-owned businesses. And then lastly, we tout the advantages that veteran-owned businesses have in small and mid-sized businesses, everything from your dry cleaner to a restaurant or a plumber that might be a veteran-owned business, and you can find those guys and women on buyveteran.com.
Okay. Let's kind of break this down, because you kind of broke this down a couple different, and I know on your website you talk about the different advocacy, and you mentioned corporate America, and you're kind of talking about kind of convincing, you know, major corporations to recognize the value of veteran-owned businesses. Is that a dynamic of having these major kind of, you know, Fortune 100 or global even 100 or Fortune 100 or 1,000 businesses to begin maybe subcontracting or, you know, doing certain things with veteran-owned businesses?
Yeah, Derek, that's exactly what it is. And most large corporations have what's called a supplier diversity department. And Historically, those have been specifically to bring in suppliers who are minorities and women-owned, from minorities and women-owned businesses. And we have been very successful at convincing corporate America that the third leg of their supplier diversity statement should include veteran-owned businesses. And that really just follows suit with what, like I said, the federal law that was passed in 1999.
And, you know, educate some people on what this federal law is, because I think, and maybe even for some veterans who are out there who are thinking about starting a business or may even have a business and, you know, aren't, you know, completely, you know, don't know your organization or don't know what's out there. What was that federal law?
For sure. It was actually called Public Law 10650, and it ushered in a 3% goal for federal agencies in their purchases from. So it set a goal that 3% of all federal purchases were to be bought from veteran-owned businesses.
Okay. Has the government really worked on achieving that goal?
They have. I mean, they've actually done very, very good. As you may imagine, the first couple of years it was tough because it didn't exist, but the government has come a really, really long way in achieving that goal. I think in 2012 they're going to be very, very close. The you know, the numbers sort of lag. It's going to take a while before 2012 is fully where the numbers are, but they're going to do very well in 2012. So definitely on their way, and it remains one of the real focuses for federal procurement professionals today.
Right, right. You know, with corporate America, and we kind of always, you know, everybody's been focusing on, you know, hire heroes and, you know, the hiring hero programs and everything else. You're really a little bit more different rather than employment. You're really focused in on that veteran entrepreneur. I mean, I know you definitely support the hiring for heroes, but you really are focused in on those veterans who are out there starting this business and really want to get them connected.
We are, and that's where Nevoba is focused, Derek. We've got, you know, and we exist, you know, advocacy for sure, but advocacy in a way that shows the value that veterans bring to the table.
Mm-hmm.
Not so much, you know, hey, listen, they've done some great things, and you may feel indebted to their service, and you may feel a tremendous sense of gratitude towards what veterans have done for your, you know, for this country, and as a result, for you or your business, but. You know, the reality is that a lot of the skills that they learn in service, you know, things like, you know, they're drug-free, they're healthy, they're willing to relocate, they've got a lot of leadership, they're very, very diverse, teamwork, performance under pressure. These are also happen to be many, many of the same attributes that are required of entrepreneurs and business owners. And that's why veterans tend to go out and start businesses at twice the rate of non-veterans.
Wow, wow. You know, with corporate America, in which you kind of selling those points, is, and you also mentioned about the public law, is do you see the buy, I mean, and maybe, of course, as it's been as we're supporting Iraq and Afghanistan vets and other things, have you seen that just a tremendous increase or a moderate increase? And do you think, as we're kind of coming off of a war footing and where we're not talking about Iraq and Afghanistan, you know, anymore, Afghanistan right now, and do you ever get concerned that corporate America or just America is going to kind of get off of that veterans page?
You know, that's a great question. And right now, certainly, I think patriotic sentiment is at a level probably not seen since the Gulf War, the end of the Gulf War in 91.
Sure.
I think as a society, we have certainly learned a great lesson. When the Vietnam veterans returned, they did not get the same treatment as the veterans of today. I think we've learned a great deal about separating what our policy may be on the war as versus the policy or how we feel about those carrying out the war policy. And so I think that's we've come a long way in that regard. Patriotic sentiment is high. But I would tell you that we view military service as an unbelievable training ground for starting one, for someone to start a business.
Mm-hmm.
And the numbers bear themselves out. You know, like I said, twice as likely to start a business veterans are than non-veterans. In fact, one out of seven veterans in this country owns and operates a small or mid-sized business. That's pretty telling stuff.
Yeah, it is.
And, you know, so they're very, very qualified. And when you've got something like that and they can take the efficiencies that they create within their own businesses and pass that off to corporate America, you know, that is a value proposition that transcends any feeling of patriotic sentiment. So I would like to think that this is going to be around for a very, very long time.
You know, I know you served in the Navy and kind of think about your own background, kind of starting this organization. I mean, give me some background. What before I even jump into other areas of advocacy, because you being a veteran and kind of coming out of that Navy dynamic, what got you started, you know, thinking about, you know, both entrepreneurship, but then what got you started about this association?
Yeah, when I left the service in the late 90s, you know, the number of resources that were available for transitioning into the private sector were somewhat limited. And there's a lot of, I asked a lot of questions of myself as how do my skills translate? What can I do? And I found when I was in the civilian world that there were misinterpretations of what value veterans brought. There was a lot of misunderstanding about the value that veterans brought, both as employees and as business owners. You know, part of launching Nevoba was to create value and for veteran-owned businesses by simply clearing up a lot of those misperceptions and a lot of those misunderstandings. And speaking in facts, you know, when there are, when you can factually say there are 3 million veteran-owned businesses in this country,
mm-hmm.
you know, and one out of seven veterans owns a business, that's factual information that grabs people's attention.
Right.
And, you know, there's a reason for that. We like to say that, you know, veterans are graduates of one of the most prestigious business schools in the world, and it's the U.S. military. We refer to them as military alumni as a result.
That's right. That's right. We'll take a quick break, Chris. When I come back, I want to keep on going down because I want to talk about kind of getting it down to the local level, as you know, and kind of hometown, state government, county government, where you're starting to focus in on. Because as we all know, I mean, most business and all business is local. And so, you know, kind of going down there and talking about the advocacy of helping veterans at the local level, state level, to succeed. We'll be right back after this break. We're talking to Chris Hale. He is in charge, he's the founder, I should say, of the National Veteran-Owned Business Association. He also has a couple other businesses. They have a great program called Buy Veteran, and you can find their website at NAVOBA.com. But if you are a veteran and you have your own business, you can join. If you're a person who wants to support a veteran-owned business, it's definitely a place to go and check out. We'll be right back after this break. You're listening to Fed Access with Derek T. Deutsch on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. Welcome back to Fed Access. You're listening to Derek T. Deutsch on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. Thank you for stopping by the show. Today we're talking about Buy Veteran. We're talking about a program that it was started by the National Veterans Owned Business Association. And we have the founder of this association on the line, Chris Hales. He is the one who started this back in the 90s after he got back from the Navy and found that there weren't a number of resources out there to help a transitioning vet go into their career or maybe even start a business. Chris, you know, in that whole piece, when you saw this dynamic and maybe this void of resources, that light bulb clicked in your head that maybe I need to start getting out there and doing something about this. What was the process of you getting this association started?
Yeah, we had launched Vetrepreneur magazine in advance of starting the association, and that was really the thinking behind it, is that veteran-owned businesses don't have any organization, unlike a number of organizations exist for women-owned businesses, for minority-owned businesses, and nothing like this existed for, you know, for veteran-owned businesses. So certainly there was a need for it, and we felt like we were qualified to lead that charge and provide that infrastructure for the
right.
community.
What's been the take on it? I mean, in terms of veterans, when they found out about the association, I mean, did they clamored to start joining because they felt like, you know, just like you had, I didn't have a voice?
Absolutely. I would tell you, Derek, that the ones that felt, you know, that really thought of themselves as veteran-owned businesses found it and, wow, this is a place for me. You know, the biggest challenge in the startup period and in continuing to grow, and it's going very well, but you know, the biggest challenge remains finding veteran-owned businesses. We say they wear a lot of camouflage. You know, there's a lot of them, but the reality is they don't wear uniforms anymore, and they don't necessarily put you know, this is a veteran-owned business sticker on their storefronts, although now we have a way for helping to identify themselves as such.
Sure.
So it was one of those things where it was difficult, you know, because they fan out into all different parts of society after they leave the service and they start their business. And, you know, the longer they're away from service, the less they think of themselves as a veteran. And, you know, we said, listen, there's an opportunity here. And whether, you know, if you're the type of company that has a product or service that you want to sell to the federal government or to state government or to a corporation, we're creating those opportunities for you. But for the reality of most veteran-owned businesses, 95% plus, they're not that large. They're not that sophisticated. They're not that scalable. They're dry cleaners. They're plumbers. They're electricians, and you know, restaurant owners. They're small, you know, locally oriented companies. And what was the advantage for them? And that's when we really took off. This Buy Veteran campaign took off, and it was an opportunity to give advantages to those small businesses that were owned by veterans.
Wow, and you know, you mentioned something really, really interesting about the difficulty of and how many veterans are out there who have, you know, small businesses, small mid-sized businesses who are, you know, I mean, using their skills as you know, someone who came from the military. And as you talk to most people who are veterans, they always say, yes, I'm using what I learned in the military. You know, you mentioned it. I mentioned it. I talked to a number of other veterans who say the same thing. You know, the difficulty in finding these veterans, is it a matter of the humbleness, you know, of kind of saying, listen, you know, I was a veteran, I served, but I just kind of keep that to myself. I mean, is that what you're finding more than anything else, or what was it?
No, that is certainly part of it, Derek. You know, I think there's another part of it that says, listen, I've gone out and proven myself as a business person, and I don't want to be portrayed as someone who has accomplished success in business because I happen to be a veteran. There's a federal law that applies to me. So, you know, overcoming
that pride.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And overcoming that has been, you know, quite frankly, a challenge. But we say to them all the time, if you had an advantage in your business, would you use it? And of course the answer is always yes. So it's interesting. We did a poll. They had a study conducted. And we had about 1,600 respondents, and these were Americans across the board. Didn't have any affiliation necessarily with the military. And we just asked general Americans. We said, "Do you feel some sort of sense of gratitude or towards members of the military and military veterans?" 95%. To nobody's surprise, 95% said yes. I feel some sense of gratitude. Okay. The next question was, if all things equal, would you purchase a product or service from a business that was owned by a military veteran or not? And the answer was 70%, over two-thirds, would prefer to purchase a product or service from a veteran-owned business versus one that's not. Now, part of that is a sense of gratitude, but I would argue that a bigger part of it is a sense of trust. You think about the relationship that you have with your auto mechanic, with where you go and have takeout food from, where you drop off your dry cleaning, and with your plumber, with your electrician, with your roofer, there's a lot of trust involved in that. Someone who is going to wear veteran on their sleeve, where they had to subscribe to a code of ethics and an honor system at some point in their past, if they're willing to wear that on their sleeve today, I would argue that it's better than a Better Business Bureau patch or anything else. It's you know, people know that they can trust that person.
Right.
And that's very, very important. So if there's no other reason to take the camouflage off and identify yourself as a veteran-owned business, you should do it for that reason.
You know, as we look down and start to kind of go through the dynamic of looking at kind of local and state government, does that same rule apply? I mean, do we find that, you know, state governments, that there's some places that are very more, you know, veteran oriented or more veteran supportive than others? I mean, are we seeing, you know, how the federal government put this law in place? Are we seeing state government do the same thing?
Or
city government?
Yeah, we absolutely are. There's, you know, in roughly half of the states now have some form of legislation that has followed suit with the federal law, and almost all of those have come about just in the last 3 or 4 years, and so they're definitely following suit. And we've seen a lot of local governments. We happen to be located in the city of right outside the city of Pittsburgh, and the city of Pittsburgh recently passed a law. A legislative goal for procuring from veteran-owned businesses. So, you know, certainly there are. It's becoming extremely mainstream, and again, these are business owners that operate efficient businesses and trustworthy businesses. Those are elements that that anybody wants when they're going after a business that they're going to operate with.
Sure. You know, you've got this piece, and you've got the Buy Veteran a site, the buyveteran.com piece, and I know that really caught my interest when I was looking into your organization. With that, have you found that to be, you know, it's almost like a yellow pages to find a veteran-owned business. I mean, I guess that's how
it sure is. Yeah, you're right.
That's how I would look at it. Have you found that to be something that has been successful in terms of a number of people now kind of saying, if I do want to find this veteran business, you know, this is where I go. And then have you heard from business owners who said, listen, I mean, you know, I am seeing that this uptick of support because people do recognize my service, but they do recognize me as a trustworthy a business because it's owned by a veteran.
Yep. There are some days, and here's the fact. The fact is there are roughly 50,000 veteran-owned businesses that you can find on buyveteran.com.
Mm-hmm.
So from one perspective, I view that and I say, boy, this is a lot of work to get those 50,000 there. And that's a lot of veteran-owned businesses that are represented that are getting some great traction and visibility. On another hand, I look at it and I say, wait a minute, there's 3 million of us out there, and we've just scratched the surface with identifying 50,000. So I would tell you that, yes, in one hand, I'm very satisfied with the success in identifying veteran-owned businesses. And on another hand, I would tell you that there's 2.95 million that we have yet to identify. So therein lies the challenge. I would tell you this. You know, it's free. Veteran-owned businesses can go to buyveteran.com, and it is absolutely free. And I would tell you that even if your company does not have an existing website currently, you can go on to buyveteran.com and have a web presence, and there's no cost to it. So,
wow.
You know, are veterans getting business out of that? The answer is yes, and they're getting, you know, they're getting greater visibility and greater business out of it at no cost.
Right. With your program, and of course, people are always looking to make sure that there is credibility there. You know, are you going on a trust factor with veterans? Are you kind of saying, listen, if you're a veteran, you know, please, you know, there's always that kind of fictitious person, that person who wore the uniform,
sure,
who didn't serve, or the person who claims they have medals, who didn't ever do anything.
Yep.
Is that ever a concern for you there?
It's a big concern, and it was a big concern when we launched the site. What we do is we have a verification. As you may imagine, you know, a thorough investigation as to the status of any person is a very, very costly endeavor.
Very much,
we could never do that. You know, that's just really, really. But what we've done is we've built in a battery of questions that, you know, you have to swear and affirm that you're telling the truth and all those things. But we've built in a battery of questions that if there are inconsistencies, if for instance, somebody goes in and says that they were in the service for 5 years and they're a lieutenant colonel, we've built in things of that nature that says those two things do not coincide. It raises a flag, and we will conduct a more detailed investigation as to the military status of that person. And then we've also got, so there's a number of those sort of things built into the battery of questions that you must answer prior to being admitted to that. And then the other part of it is that anybody who recognizes an imposter, or what we call a Renovet situation, some sort of imposter, we've got a means whereby they can be reported.
Okay.
Okay. That.
And I think is that the law? I'm trying to remember. Is it the law that if you imposter a veteran or something like that can be deemed as illegal?
I think that's the law, isn't it? It is. You're right. It should be, it is.
If it's not, it should be.
That's right.
We need to claim that right now. Hey, we need to take a quick break. We're talking to Chris Hales. He is the founder of the National Veteran-Owned Business Association. You can find their website at NAVOBA.com. They also have a site called buyveteran.com where you can find veteran-owned businesses that are on there. Great site, great organization. We'll be right back after this break and keep on talking about veterans, business, advocacy for them, and many other topics and going on from there. You're listening to Fed Access with Derek T. Dortch on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. Welcome back to Fed Access with Derek T. Dortch on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. If you just joined us, we're talking about veterans, and we're talking about veteran-owned businesses. I know a lot of times you hear a lot of different things in terms of veterans, and you hear about veteran benefits, and you hear about veteran employment. You hear about a number. You hear about health care for veterans. But this, you know, we're talking about a situation in terms of veterans being empowered and using the things that they learned in the military to really help them get started with businesses, and those who are already veterans who own businesses continue to help them succeed. That's going to help stimulate the economy, help our nation continue to grow. It's almost giving back in another way. We're talking to Chris Hales. He is a founder of the National Veteran-Owned Business Association, and they have a program called BuyVeteran.com that is a really, really interesting, great program. Chris, I just that kind of thought just came upon me as I was talking. You know, this is another way of service. You know, if you're a veteran-owned business and we talk about still serving your country, you know, this could be deemed as another way of serving because you're helping your nation, you're helping the economy, you're helping your local neighborhood in a number of other ways.
Absolutely. If you know, we like to say that, you know, you can go to buyveteran.com and you can plug in your zip code and you can plug in different, you know, dry cleaner or plumber, what have you, and you're going to find veterans that are, you know, in your hometown, in your community that can provide service and products for you. And, you know, there's no better way to empower America than to empower the small businesses that employ the vast majority of Americans. And one out of seven of those are owned by a veteran. So what's more American than that? You know, the Buy Union campaign was popular back in the 70s.
Mm-hmm.
And certainly Buy American was popular. Buy Veteran is both of those and more. And what's more patriotic than buying veteran?
Without question. You know, as we look to the dynamics, and you know, we've got a whole new crop of veterans coming out right now, and I know the government has you know, the federal government has kind of put some programs in place, and now you're starting to see some state government and city government who are starting to kind of get on the bandwagon a little bit more, promoting veteran entrepreneurship or programs to get veterans starting business. What would you say? Do you feel like there's enough support out there? Are there enough incubators? Do we need, you know, more money? Do we need more support to help veterans get out there and start their own businesses?
Yeah, it's a great question. I mean, I would look to the fact that there are already twice as many, you know, veterans are already own businesses at twice the rate of non-veterans. And so from that perspective, I would say that, you know, they don't necessarily need a lot of training on how to start a business, because I would argue that they've already effectively learned that through the skills that they've learned in the military. And but at the same time, I think there is certainly some merit in having existing veteran businesses get some assistance on selling, on the uniqueness. And there is uniqueness to selling to the federal government, to state governments, and also to corporate America.
You know, but I wonder, is it too much of a focus that's being put on veterans being either federal, state, or city contractors or county contractors? Is that too much of the energy being put on that rather than kind of talking about just a veteran starting a business and getting out there?
Yeah, I mean, it's a way to establish, I would say, you know, legislation that ensures that there's some advantage to being a veteran-owned business.
Mm-hmm.
So I would say from that regard, it's an important endeavor.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but the reality is that I would argue that the veteran-owned businesses are already out there. So if we're able to take the monies that we would otherwise use to train them how to become business owners, which I, you know, don't feel is terribly necessary, that we could use that money to encourage them to take the camouflage off,
mm-hmm,
and identify themselves as a veteran-owned business. The reality is that they're out there, and most of us do business with veteran-owned businesses each and every day.
Right.
And don't even know about it. And
right.
So the next time you're eating at your favorite restaurant or picking up your dry cleaning or employ somebody to put a new roof on your home or what have you, you know, ask them what if the owner happens to be a veteran, and you'll find out that in a lot of cases it is.
Well, you know, it's funny because I've been at restaurants, and then you start reading, you know, maybe they have some information about the owner, or I think I was in a Papa John's in Virginia one day, and I'll start reading about who the owner was, and it talked about he was a colonel in the Army. You know, I mean, you know, if you didn't, you know, if you, you know, and this kind of leads into another program that you're really involved in is kind of the dynamic of military franchising.
Absolutely.
You know, what is that about? I mean, are you encouraging veterans to focus in on getting franchises or maybe starting franchises?
For sure, Derek. I mean, we kind of, you know, there's two divergent things that you can do when you leave the service. A, you can go to work for somebody else. Or B, you can go to work entirely on your own and start a brand new business all on your own. in between there is in our opinion, is franchising, which is essentially taking a business plan and a proven business model that somebody else has already done, taking that business plan and executing the business plan. Well, who better to execute a plan than a military person?
Right.
We all have done that each and every day when we were in the service.
You know, you're doing operation plans. I mean, that's everything in the military from officer to enlisted is about planning.
Planning, and guess what? Sometimes the plan doesn't go as planned, and you've got to improvise.
That's right.
We do that, too.
That's right.
And, so
I know in the Marine Corps, we always say improvise, adapt, and overcome, you know?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yep, and we, so, you know, we view franchising as a great way to have, to own a business, but to do so with a little bit less risk.
Mm.
So it's that midpoint between working for somebody else and working entirely for yourself. We've established a great relationship with the International Franchise Association, which is the largest organization of franchised businesses, and with their VetFran program. And we've worked with them to continue to offer discounts on starting franchises for veterans. And, you know, the franchise community has responded incredibly favorably. We run a list every year where we rank the most military-friendly franchises, and number of companies, of these franchise companies, they compete vehemently to be on this list because they know that if they can get a veteran and encourage them and help them with raising the capital to invest in a franchise, they know they're going to have someone that will not let them fail.
Right, right.
I mean, they're just persistent. Failure is not an option in the military, and it's certainly not an option in the private world. And they'll do whatever they can to make the business succeed.
You know, you touch on something that's really, really important. I think that lends itself to the majority of people come out of the military have that mindset, and that's what you're drilled on. I mean, some people feel like the military brainwashes you, but it's a positive dynamic of putting that kind of, you know, mission accomplishment that, you know, no matter what happens, no matter what the loss is, we got to continue to push forward. And I think that lends itself to business, because business will not always, you may have a great year, you may not have a great year, but you don't quit. And have you found that veteran-owned businesses, are the statistics saying that they have more success? I mean, of course, we're not taking away from anybody else, but do they have more success because of that stick-to-it?
The numbers speak for themselves. I mean, they own businesses at twice the rate.
Mm-hmm.
You look at the failure rate of new businesses, and it's incredibly high, especially in the first year. And I would argue that, you know, veterans do a good job of risk assessment.
Mm-hmm.
You know, anytime you're in the military and you assess a situation where you're going to combat an enemy, and you do some risk assessment there. So if you choose to do battle, you've chosen that, you know, you feel like you've got a pretty good ability to win. And, you know, one of my favorite verses, it was from the Navy, one of my favorite phrases was, on the strength of one link in the cable dependeth the might of the chain.
Mm, yeah.
And I think one of the primary motivators when you're in the service is, man, you work your butt off and so that you are not the weak link.
Right.
So the team does not fail or the mission does not fail because of something that you individually didn't do properly.
Right.
And that's
a
huge motivator. It's one thing to let yourself down. It's another thing to let your team members down.
Without question. Chris, we're going to take a quick break. When we go into the final segment, I want to talk about a couple of the things that you've been doing. You've got the Victory Media and other things like that. I want to talk about that and also continue to talk about the association that you founded. And I know you've got your person who's, is Rocky?
Rocky Blyer,
Yeah. You've got him out there speaking for you and everything else. We'll talk about that a little bit more on when we come back. We're talking to Chris Hales. He is the founder of the National Association of Veteran-Owned Businesses. I mean, the National Veteran-Owned Business Association, I should say. And you can find their website at NAVOBA.com. They also have a great program called By Veteran that you can find at ByVeteran.com. Check both of those sites out. I think you'll be quite impressed about what they're doing there. We'll be right back after this break. You're listening to Fed Access with Derek T. Deutsch on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. Welcome back to Fed Access with Derek T. Dorch on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. If you're just joining us, we are talking about veterans, and we're talking about it in a different perspective today. We're talking about veterans who are entrepreneurs, or what we call veterpreneurs, I should say. We're talking about veterans and how they're getting started and how they're being of service in being business owners and providing stimulus to our economy in doing that and so much more. We have the founder of the National Veteran-Owned Business Association, Chris Hills, on the line with us today. And Chris, we were talking about the dynamic of, you know, veterans and the power that they bring in, this do not quit mentality, this you know, and I think even your spokesperson really lends to this, Rocky. Talk to us about, you know, how he became the spokesperson. Why did you choose him? Is it because of his story?
Absolutely. I mean, the guy's such a hero to me. I happen to grow up in the city of Pittsburgh, and Rocky Blyer, for those who don't know, was a Pittsburgh Steeler that won 4 Super Bowls in the 70s. But, I mean, his story is amazing. Just very briefly, he was drafted by the Steelers. He was born and raised in Wisconsin. He was a good high school football player, but undersized. They said it'd never amount to anything. He went and played football at this little school called Notre Dame, which was a slight powerhouse in the mid-60s. It won a national championship at Notre Dame. He was drafted in the 16th round by the Steelers in the mid-60s, joined the team, was on the team for a year, and was drafted into Vietnam. Was injured in combat, told he would never walk again. Not only did he walk again, he ran, and he ran to 4 Super Bowl victories for the Steelers.
Wow.
He's a business owner, he's a motivational speaker, and he's a friend and a hero, honestly, and he's just about embodies every positive attribute that any American would want to have, and certainly any veteran also.
You know, with all of that, and I think that lends itself to the number of veterans who really just kind of have that determination. And, you know, we talk about even our wounded warriors who, as we're seeing, who are kind of getting up, you know, from their wounds and doing tremendous things, even with the new you know, equipment and new things that are out there. You know, are we seeing even these wounded warriors get into business now?
We are. We absolutely are. They, you know, they're the last thing that they want is to be identified or typecast as somebody with a disability. Mm-hmm. They want to move beyond that. That's the way they're wired. And, you know, they're dealing with, the reality is most veterans don't have any injuries. And
right.
they come back whole, and they come back much better off because of their service. But for those that come back with, some battle wounds, some of them are very severe, but they're overcoming them. And, you know, hats off to our VA, which I think is doing a tremendous job of getting our wounded veterans back to a position where they've got a lot of pride, because they can contribute to society and create businesses that not only support themselves but employ other people. It's just really rewarding to watch, to see.
You know, we only got a few minutes, Chris. I mean, talk to us about, you know, your business. I mean, you got Victory Media. You know, what do you have going? I know you got a couple of different things going on when you started your program, and included is Veterpreneur Magazine. Talk to us about what you got going on.
Sure, absolutely. We have a magazine as well and a website called GI Jobs. It's GI Jobs Magazine and GIJobs.com. And it reaches, it's there to assist veterans who are leaving the service or those who have recently left to find gainful civilian employment and find educational opportunities and help to navigate that. I mentioned, you know, to you before that there's a churn. You know, when you leave the service, you're trying to figure out what it is that you're going to do with your life, and GI Jobs. GIJobs.com really helps you find your way. We also do ratings. We serve as a ratings entity, so we rank the Fortune 1000 businesses and how military friendly they are, how well they welcome veterans into their workforce, and also military friendly schools.
Okay, is there a dynamic that you're finding that there's a significant difference between? I mean, what, you know, how do you determine? I mean, are these schools or businesses or corporations who are saying, "Hey, listen, we have a program for veterans"? I mean, how do you gauge that?
Sure, that's a great question. We look at everything from reserve and guard policy. Mm-hmm. So, do they have policies for existing employees who are members of the Reserve and Guard that enable them to come back to their job and reassume their duties there, to things like, you know, how many resources do they put towards recruiting veterans? How many, what percentage of their workforce in any given year of new employees is a veteran? What percentage of their existing workforce are military veterans? What types of policies do they have for recruiting the spouses of military members? And so just an awful lot of different things that we measure, you know, the military friendliness of it. How well do they onboard service members out that are coming to work for that company? Do they onboard them well? Do they hook them up with a mentor who might be a veteran themselves and help them in that cultural transition of going from a military service member to a civilian? So those are some of the, there's a battery of about 60 questions that we ask.
Okay. And Chris, last thing, because we gotta get out of here, but we could talk all day. Where can they find all of this? Because you got some great resources that I think any veteran needs to take a look at. Is it one place they can just find everything you got going on?
Well, I wish there was, but it's a whole bunch of them. I would say that you know, veteran business owners need to go to buyveteran.com, which is B-U-Y, buyveteran.com. If you're looking for a military-friendly school, you can go to militaryfriendlyschools.com. And certainly GIJobs.com. And the last one would be for service member wives, for the military spouses, they can go to BaseGuide, BaseGuide.com. Lots of resources. That's why we exist, to connect the military community to the outside world and make sure that, you know, their professional lives after being in the service are as successful as they can possibly be.
Chris, thanks so much for being on the show. We're going to have you back because there's so much to talk about, and we could go into a deeper conversation, so we will do that in the near future. But thank you for coming on Fed Access, I should say.
Thank you, Derek.
You've been listening to Fed Access with Derek T. Dorch on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. If you missed any part of this program, you can hear it in its entirety on our website, federalnewsradio.com. Fed Access with Derek T. Dorch, Friday afternoons at noon, only on Federal News Radio 1500 AM, WFED, your source for federal news now.